With apologies to Abraham Lincoln, 42 years ago this week, our nation was the target of a surprise and brutal attack at Pearl Harbor. Just a few days ago, I had the occasion to visit Pearl Harbor and the USS Arizona Memorial for the first time. It was an incredibly moving experience. I knew the basic details of that fateful day, but being there and seeing it in person made the horror of it real in a way that no book or film can really convey. I will not forget standing on the Arizona Memorial itself, the sunken battleship easily visible beneath our feet, and thinking about the 1,177 who died on that one ship on December 7, 1941. Because the powder magazine was struck and burned with such intensity for 2 days, few of the bodies could be recovered. The Arizona itself, rather than military cemeteries, became the final resting place for approximately 1,000 of her crew of 1,731. But what I had never known until my recent visit is that 44 of the survivors, years later, began to request to be buried with their shipmates. And they were, the last one just 4 years ago. The one remaining survivor is 102, and he has said he will be buried with his family. I found myself thinking of those 44 who wanted to rejoin their fallen shipmates as much as I thought of the 1,177 who died. What an example of loyalty and camaraderie. I also found myself thinking about the lessons that we as a nation should learn from that disastrous day that claimed a total of 2,403 American lives. In the immediate aftermath of the attack, the phrase, "Remember Pearl Harbor," became an American mantra. Here we are now, 82 years later. What's the message of Pearl Harbor and the Arizona to America in the 21st century? Is it about the virtue of loyalty or the risk of unpreparedness? Two Pearl Harbor-scale attacks that occurred in this century are 9/11 and the Hamas attack on Israel. If we look at them all together, can we find a common theme and perhaps a common lesson? All three were surprise attacks, so naturally we ask if the targets were asleep at the switch, so to speak. And of course they were. But was there something that could have prevented the attacks? All three involved known antagonists who had bragged that some kind of attack was forthcoming. It is impractical to take preventive measures against every single boasted threat. Good intelligence can help sort through the threats and distinguish between those that are merely antagonistic bravado and those that have the capability as well as the intent to carry out a genuine attack. But intelligence failures occur. Witness Israeli intelligence's failure to predict, let alone prevent, the October 7th attacks by Hamas. It is classic armchair quarterbacking and not helpful to point fingers of blame after an attack while contributing little to reducing the likelihood of a recurrence. It is worth noting that all three attackers embraced a culture of death as a virtue. Their leaders managed to persuade their adherents to act en masse, not just as individuals detonating suicide vests among innocent civilians in a marketplace or on a bus. Is it possible that the clue to stopping these mass attacks lies not in trying to deduce the motivations of individual terrorists, such as hopelessness and despair, but rather the motivations of their leaders? In an article titled "The Culture of Death, Terrorist Organizations and Suicide," the congressionally chartered Wilson Center concluded that terrorist organizations will continue to be employed by groups as long as they are considered effective. Conversely, suicide terrorism will decline in incidence when the terrorist organizations conclude that it is not effective as an instrument or its employment will undercut their political agenda. Therein lies the key to preventing future Pearl Harbors, 9/11s, and October 7ths. While the instant of attack always favors the attackers, if the long-term price to be paid by the attackers is so great that it precludes a replicated attack, and if the world's opprobrium is powerful and close to unanimous, then future attacks will, to use the Wilson Center's language, decline in incidence. Attempts to garner sympathy for the attackers undermine future security. There was little of that after Pearl Harbor. There was more, but still not a lot of it, after 9/11. There is a lot more of it now, particularly on college campuses and within liberal enclaves, as pro-Palestinian marches and demonstrations receive positive media coverage. Remembering Pearl Harbor in 2023 means uniting against the attackers and providing no political cover for the attackers. This has been Colin Hanna for American Radio Journal.